This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg, and joining me now is Sue Balcom. She joins us once a week for Main Street Eats. Sue, thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You know, April's weather is very up and down, but it is hard to not think about the gardening season, and especially now, given the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, and the situations that that has created, and some of the challenges and perhaps opportunities there are for people when it comes to access to healthy food. And so today you want to actually, you know, go on that theme of everything old is new again and talk about victory gardens.
That's excellent, because everything old is new again. There's actually a song that goes with that.
I didn't know that. You know everything.
People
Sue.
Need to start singing more, I think. That's what we're missing in society today. People singing in the aisles of the Walmart stores.
Well, you start.
My kids have always said, why do you have to sing in public? I'm like, because my life is a cabaret. A cabaret and a garden. That's like my happy times, my happy places. So I've been fielding a ton of questions about farmers markets and gardens and baking bread and all that kind of good stuff. And I have to tell you that this is not a new concept. Gardens saved this country back in the 1940s. They were called victory gardens. Now, I have to preface this with some local food system information that I am privy to. Oh, wait, I wasn't privy to it. My only qualification for talking about local food systems is that I lived in a local food system back in the 70s. When I was 12 years old, we moved to Gackle, North Dakota. It was a town of 500 people. And in that town was a meatpacking plant, a bank, a Tasty Freeze, a bowling alley, 7 churches of various faiths, a hardware store,
a
creamery.
Wait, I'm sorry. 7 churches in a population of 500?
Yes. Can you believe that? And they were all, they stemmed from, you know, Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, you name it. We had you covered faith-wise
back
then.
That is a kind of diversity, I guess.
Well, it was the only diversity we knew, because as you know, the Germans from Russia back then, they weren't allowed, the Protestants and the Catholics were separated by county and by, they never married, they didn't, you know, that was a huge thing for those people. But that's a whole nother story. So this town had a creamery and a hardware store and a clothing store and 2 grocery stores, a pharmacy, a elementary school, a high school, a park, a swimming pool, a cafe, and a movie theater. And I may have actually forgot a few things there, too. Yes, the Civic Improvement Company. That was on Main Street across from the cafe, and it was the local bar. And all the proceeds from the bar went into the city treasurer's office, which really wasn't such a bad
idea
now to keep the city going. So because I saw what it was like to purchase butter and cream and sausage and all of this stuff locally, I'm thinking that people now are starting to pay a little bit more attention to what they can purchase from people over here in this country. This may not end up to be a bad time in our lives. This might end up to make us grow closer as the whole United States, you know, kind of collectively. So people are asking me about planting gardens. And it's not a difficult thing to grow some of your own food. Back in the Victory Garden days, nearly 20 million Americans planted gardens in their backyards, in empty lots, on city rooftops, you know, hence pot gardening or small pot gardening or square foot gardening, all those things that are coming back into people's radar nowadays. People pulled their resources back then and planted different kinds of food. Then they formed cooperatives for distribution, because that's key. It's one thing to be able to produce food in your own garden for other people, but distribution is something that goes right along hand in hand with that. And they did this all in the name of patriotism. I kind of like that idea. Farm families, of course, had been planting gardens and preserving produce for generations. And so that's kind of where I got my start. So you don't have to have like a large yard to have a garden. You can go into a community garden situation and rent a small plot. You can get extension agents to help you select seeds and to actually give you advice on good things to grow so that you don't end up with 40 feet of kale. Or I had a friend once that said she planted the whole pack of zucchini seeds in her garden.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
You
like,
can't.
I only plant
no, you can't
three.
Even give those away.
I know, right? Oh. We're going to have
to do
a whole
I mean, you are aware
session.
Of, yeah, there's national, like, sneak a zucchini on your neighbor's porch day, right?
All right.
Like,
that's
she, hopefully
that's
she has
right.
a lot of neighbors. Okay, so let's start with if you've got really good situation. You have a yard, there's lots of sun, it's fenced off. What would be 5 or 10 things that Sue Balcom would plant to increase self-sufficiency?
Oh, I definitely would plant tomatoes. Tomatoes are really easy to grow. Plus, they're easy to can. So I never go through the winter without at least 100 jars of tomatoes in my basement. They're so much better than other tomatoes. And of course, if you have tomatoes, you can make salsa if you plant peppers, sweet peppers, and jalapeno peppers. Those are two really easy to grow things also. Actually, they have recipes for salsa gardens. You know, you can put a row of onions in, a couple pepper plants, and don't get carried away. If you have really beautiful, rich soil, you can get a lot of tomatoes from 2 or 3 plants, and a lot of peppers from, okay, I like peppers, 4 or 5 plants of various kinds too. So then plant some onions. Onions come, you can buy onions. I think onion sets walking in the grocery store, you'll always see a bin of onions. If you plant potatoes, you're going to need to have a little more space. But you can also plant things, if you concentrate on planting vertically instead of horizontally, you can get way more things in a small garden. You can trellis your tomatoes. Okay, so let's have tomatoes, peppers, jalapenos, some onions. You can start a little border of chives in your flower garden. Cucumbers is something that's really easy to grow. And those, you can trellis all of those things so they grow up towards the sky. And that accomplishes several things. Gives you more room in your garden. Plus, it keeps your fruit clean. If your cucumbers are hanging from a fence, they'll actually grow straighter. If tomatoes are kept up off the ground, you won't have problems with slugs and or other little creepy crawlers like voles that kind of like to go under. Insects and varmints kind of like to hide from you. And so they'll go any place where your foliage is really dense. And that's where they'll start eating. So if you keep them, keep your plants pruned really well and keep them up in the air, that'll help you with any kind of issues you have with insects and varmints. You want to plant a row of marigolds maybe too. Marigolds are said to keep insects away. And lettuces are easy to grow. So right now would be a good time to start thinking about lettuces and radish because most of the times when I've planted radish seeds in April, and they've gotten snowed on, they are the best and crispest radishes I've ever grown. Because as the temperatures warm up, things like spinach will bolt, lettuces will bolt, your radishes will go to seed real quickly. And if you have a little space for carrots, that's something else that's very fun to plant. However, people who don't have success with row crops like radishes and carrots, you're not thinning them out properly. You need
How
to get
you know,
down there
Sue?
With your nose to the ground. and a manicure scissors and cut out every other plant so that they need room to grow. Yikes. And I know that's a painful thing to do, but I eat that stuff as I go along those rows. Yeah. So it never goes to waste.
Okay, so that's a great scenario. You've got a good yard or you've bought into like a community gardening plot. How about like if you have an apartment with a sunny balcony, what would you suggest?
Container gardening. I know a lot of people who, well, actually my friend Diane, who gardens in these enormous acre lots, actually starts, she's planted radishes and cabbage outside in her containers next to her house, just for fun. So you can get a large pot with good drainage. It can be a square box. It can be a pretty planter, whatever you wish. And then you can plant like one tomato plant and trellis that also so that it grows straight up and doesn't overtake your space. You can plant lettuce in little tiny gutters, like if you have a handyman that can cap off a gutter for you. You can put a good serious soil mixture in a gutter and grow yourself some lettuce that way. Lettuce is easy to grow. It just does like cool weather. So don't let your space stop you. You can plant a container over here and a container over there, and then pretty soon you'll have pots hanging off your balcony. And then you'll have to get into a community garden or buy a farm because it's addicting to plant and grow and eat your own food.
If your garden has to be confined to just within your home for whatever reason, I'm thinking microgreens and herbs.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe mushrooms.
Holy
even?
Cow. Well, and I've learned that you can grow mushrooms in coffee grounds.
Okay.
And so you maybe could, although you've got to be a little careful with mushrooms because that is a spore and that does get into the air. And so if you have anybody maybe that has allergies or something, you'll want to check that out carefully first. But oh my goodness sakes, microgreens are the most amazing, easy to grow thing on the planet. You just need like a paper milk carton tipped on its side and you cut the top out of there and plant very thickly, plant microgreens in that little tiny space. And in a week you'll have a delightful green, beautiful growth going. And you can let them go till they're probably 2 or 3 inches long, but you can microgreen pea shoots and corn and sunflower seeds. Sun seeds are really, really good. You can buy special mixes of spicy lettuces and radishes and all kinds of things that make a delightful addition to any salad.
All right. Well, and they have quite a nutritional punch to them, I think. Relative to their full-grown counterparts, they have something like 40 times the nutritional value, or up to, I should say. It's not all would be like that. So it's a good way to get a lot of nutrition in without very much effort.
Right. And that is it's a good thing to teach your children. Like if your children are home and you want to give them a lesson in biology or agronomy, growing things is a wonderful thing to do. Plus, after a season of growth, you have the opportunity to do a little canning or freezing and preserve some of that stuff for in the winter time.
Yes.
The statistic I found on the Victory Garden website was that 315,000 pressure cookers were sold in 1943.
I bet.
Because people had all this produce and we never want to let it go to waste.
All right, that's going to have to be. I'm going to have to just do it. I got to get a pressure canner.
You do. And if you need help with that, I can certainly give you some instruction because they're not as scary as people make them out to be. It is so much fun. You can pressure can just about anything in your cupboard.
All right.
So I would recommend just kind of like dipping into this. And if you absolutely find that you just don't want to be a gardener, you know, I think that us farmer people are anticipating a really good season for local produce year. So we're growing extra stuff and we're growing it just for you.
Oh, thank you, Sue. Sue Balcom joins us once a week for Main Street Eats. You can follow her blog at therootsellers.com.
Thank you, Ashley.